Jonah chapter 3. One of the most familiar of the minor prophets. We'll simply spend 4 weeks in this book that we could spend many, many weeks. Jason did an excellent job several months ago taking our adult Sunday school class through it. And I wondered, should I even bother? But there were so many errors and issues when Jason, no, I'm just kidding. He did a great job. And so, I want to try and preach. If you hang in there long enough, you will read every verse of the Bible, Lord willing, with us. And we'll try not to skip any. Let's read Jonah chapter 3, and I'll remind us where we've come from, but very short chapter. And each chapter is about the similar length, 10, 11 verses. Jonah chapter 3. Let's look at Jonah chapter 2, verse 10, just to remind us what happened. Jonah chapter 2, verse 10. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Chapter 3, verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. Verse 6. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? Verse 10. And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Tonight, there's not going to be anything necessarily so unique from this message, but an important message it is. I've entitled it, The Power and Pity of God. The Power and Pity of God. I want you to look, if you will, I want you to look at what God commanded Jonah in Jonah chapter 3, verse 2. And I want us to go back and compare what he commanded Jonah in Jonah chapter 1. But let's first look at what the Lord commanded him in Jonah chapter 3, verse 2. He says, Arise, go into Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Now look at Jonah chapter 1, verse 2. He says this to Jonah, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, exactly the same right now, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. A little more specific instruction from the Lord. Tonight I just have 4 thoughts. I'll give you the 4 thoughts, but I'll go through them one by one. God commands some things. Jonah obeyed. People respond. And God repents. Those are the 4 thoughts of this chapter. But I want us to look again at what God commands. He commands here, and he tells Jonah, he says, Jonah, arise. Go. And preach. And I want you to know that That is the simple message that God gives every one of His children. Arise, go, and preach. Because the reality is, if you don't arise and you don't get involved, then you will not go and you will not preach. Nothing's changed. I'm very hard on Jonah. I'm very just difficult. He ultimately did cry out to God in Jonah chapter 2. And there were some good things that he said, but by evidence, and you will see that in our finale next week, I don't think Jonah's heart was ever right. But I want you to remember this. The message has never changed. God commands us to arise, go, and preach. Listen to Matthew 28, very familiar passage. Jesus speaking to the 11. Judas had committed suicide. And I believe he was speaking to them as his first church that was already in existence in Matthew 28. It was empowered in Acts chapter 2, not started. But he commands them in Matthew 28 verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them saying, all power, that word is the word for authority, not dunamis, not to the explosive power, but all authority, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Verse 19, go. Same word that God uses in Jonah chapter 3 verse 1. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Mark 16, 15. Jesus, in just a summarized portion, he says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The gap of our church, the gap of every church, I think, in America, that's all I can speak with, is we aren't going. We aren't arising. We can pick on Jonah all we want. We wonder, you know, I haven't really spoken much of our banners that I think have the same concept, but our mission, I believe this is absolutely biblical. I believe it's our priority. We cannot have a mission without our passion. We can't do one without the other, but it's that each one would reach one and teach one. And so it's this, is that every single person in here, that you are a born again believer in Jesus Christ, do you agonize? Do you weep that you have a barren womb spiritually? I loved when Stephen, you know, I was so excited I told Donald, I wasn't sure who he was communicating to first. And I wanted to tell Stephen, right? But I'm terrible, right? When I would find out, you know, that Deb was pregnant, it was like, whoa, I'm not allowed to tell anybody. That didn't last really long. The first time that we found out she was pregnant, it must have been was it a Sunday morning? Is she in here? Oh, she is not. How good is that? So I think it was a Sunday morning, right? So it was a Sunday morning, and I won't go into details, but you know, their little dipstick. So we had agreed. We said, you know, we lived in Lima. We were 2 hours away from family. And so we found out that morning, because she's in here. So we found out that morning. I think it was a Sunday morning, wasn't it, that we found out? When you were pregnant with Josh? Yeah, okay, so anyway. So we found out that morning, and we kind of agreed. I don't remember, like, committed. Because we were, you know, but the internet wasn't big then either. You know, it wasn't like we were on Facebook or something. Facebook didn't exist as far as I know. And so we kind of, you know, not really, but sort of maybe, said, you know, we're going to try to keep this a secret. Right? And man, we walk into church and it was like impossible. Right? And I mean, I was like, there's nothing like it, right? And God gave us a baby. We had no idea it was going to be a boy. and all the aggravation that he would cause. And I love Josh. I do. I give him such a hard time. I'm so glad he doesn't listen to my preaching. He would be very hurt. I'm just kidding. He does. I'm just teasing. And so I just couldn't keep it a secret. Right? So I wanted Donald. I said, oh, you need to tell Stephen. He said, oh, I'm texting him right now. There's just nothing like it. I love what Stephen told me, though. He goes, it's about time. This pregnant elephant back here, right? 2-year gestation. And, you know, it is so agonizing. Sunday afternoon when we were just sharing again the gospel and answering Donald's questions. And I mean, I'm telling you, it's good to be grounded in truth because I didn't want Donald to leave my office until he had surrendered, but I knew I would be manipulating him. And I worry, and you shouldn't worry, the powers in the gospel and the Holy Spirit, that, he was just a wisp away, right? A wisp away. What a thrill. What a thrill that he truly gave his life to Christ in the privacy of his own home. And I loved your response. It's about time. Stephen was saying, you know, I've been wondering, am I ever going to have fruit? You know, and what a thrill. Is it not a thrill? I want you to agonize. God, where's that fruit? Where are souls? I got a little emotional on Sunday when I was preaching and some of you get worried. I'm not trying to manipulate anybody. I am broken and I want to get more broken. I want to see people saved and I just want to see people know Christ and I want to be overwhelmed with just the need to take care of spiritual babies. Do you have that burning desire that God would just use you? Go, arise, and preach. That's the command. That's what it's all about. That's what he told Jonah. And I love the Lord. I speak of this all the time, the simplicity of Christianity. There is absolutely nothing simple about Christianity. There's nothing simple about God, but God is so amazing that he has taken his amazing complexity and sifted it down with the help of the Holy Spirit so that you and I can understand it. Do you understand understanding God's ways is almost ridiculous that we can? That's just the Lord. That he would actually give us a book that we could understand. And yes, it does take the Holy Spirit for us to understand, but it's amazing that we can grasp what we can grasp, that God can take who he is because he's not anything like us. And we can know him. You see, I want us to be broken. I want us to be burdened. And I don't want us to walk around like failures. But we can't expect to reach one if we aren't even trying. Nineveh would never have been reached unless there was a preacher that went. The Ethiopian eunuch, I love the Ethiopian eunuch. He is on his way and Philip, I think there was something supernatural that happened that Philip just showed up, right? And, you know, it's just kind of like, hey, how you doing? Where'd you come from? I'm in the desert. And so, Philip asked him, do you understand what you're reading? And the Ethiopian eunuch said, how can I unless someone teach me? You see, I want to tell you this. People will listen. And I want us to yearn. I want us to pain. I want us to agonize. I just want us to obey God. And I want us to go and I want us to believe. You know, I'm not a farmer. But farmers, they plant in faith. And they have some history that says, when I put this piece of whatever, corn or grain or whatever it might be in the dirt, and I do all the things that are necessary. They expect fruit, and year after year, God's grace, His amazing kindness and love, they get a harvest. Do you really believe in the power of the gospel? I had a good time tonight. I was by myself. So I talked to myself. And every door I went to tonight, I just reminded myself, it's the power of the gospel. It's not me. It's the power of the gospel that I'm going to this door with. And it's the Lord that can change lives. And I wanted to look at each person and go, the Lord wants to change their life. You see, I don't know. We don't agonize over it. We'd rather have a new car than have a soul. We'd rather have a fancy vacation than be used of God to lead someone to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We'd rather get a new house. Nothing's wrong with a new car. Nothing's wrong with a nice vacation. Nothing's wrong with a new house. But what is it that lights your fire? I don't think it's the gospel. I think we're just like Jonah. We don't care. God's commands have never changed. Arise, go, and preach. What I love is the Lord gets specific here in verse 2. He says, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. And do you know what I love about the New Testament? The New Testament's even clear. He says, go preach the gospel. And so don't misunderstand. Don't misunderstand what we are to go and preach. We are to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a very narrow way. And we are to preach it with love, compassion, and a fervor, and a confidence that there will be a harvest. The command's never changed. Second thing I want you to see is Jonah obeyed. Look at verse 3. So Jonah arose. God said, arise. He arose. And Jonah went. God said, go. And he went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. It's interesting. There's debate. A day's journey would normally be maximum 20 miles. Is that really dealing with the diameter of the city? Probably not. It could be, but there's no archaeology that says there was a city that was 60 miles in diameter. But that doesn't mean the Bible's wrong. You see, it just says 3 days' journey. 3 days' journey could be, it was a huge city. That's what we get. I'm not sure, and so I do have a bias because I know the rest of the story. The Bible says Jonah arose and went. Did Jonah preach what God told him to preach? Now God used it. Here's what Jonah preached in verse 4. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. I don't think that was the message that God would bid you and I to preach. I think it's part of the message. We don't know what else Jonah preached, but God used it. I don't know if Jonah went 2 days' journey into the city. I don't know if Jonah covered the whole city. But here's my point that I want you to grasp tonight. God used Jonah in a great and mighty way. I want you to turn over to Philippians chapter 1. I want you to grasp this. And I've got to be real careful how I preach this. I don't think Jonah had the right attitude. I'm not even sure Jonah preached the message that God told him to preach. Because the Bible says that he arose and went, and then the Bible says what he said, but he didn't. The Bible doesn't say he arose, went, and preached what I told him to preach. He says, here's what he said. Maybe this is exactly what God said, and I believe it might have been part of what he said. It's not clear that Jonah went the whole way, but God used it anyway. Look at Philippians chapter 1. I want us to look at verse 14, and I want to share something with you that just may encourage you, and I've got to make sure I do it in the right way as well. Philippians chapter 1, verse 14 to 18. I want to show you this, and It says, and many of the brethren, Paul speaking of his imprisonment, many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. So what Paul's saying here to the church of Philippi, he's saying, wow, people are looking at me and they're going, wow, Paul preaches the truth and he's being put in jail for it. Wow, more people waxed bold. They got confidence from Paul. If Paul can preach it and he's put in jail, then I can do it too. And then Paul says in verse 15, he says, some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. Do you understand what this is saying? Paul's saying this. He is thrilled when the gospel is preached, whether it's preached in love or whether it's preached in antagonism or pretense. And so I will give you this example. My family, we have discussions all the time. If this encourages you, I want to be a kinder, gentler pastor. I do. I'm not satisfied. I'm not done. And I always ask him, well, what was it that was, you know, the little triggers, you know, of something I said, and it's important to me. So I even ask him today. I said, well, I was in the mood to receive feedback today. I'm not always. Just like you aren't either. And so Abby was in the mood to give feedback. More than I wanted, but it was good. So she said, well, Dad, there's this one phrase that you've been saying lately. She goes, I just don't like it. I just don't think it helps. And she goes, you know, because I might make a statement and I'll say, you know, if that's not true, then I'll see you in hell. And I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but you understand that if the Bible's not true, then we're doomed. And I'm probably not going to use that phrase again. But here's the irony of ironies. Stephen, you'll remember this. The one phrase that Donald remembered from my message on Sunday when we were talking in my office, he said, you said something that I cannot get out of my mind. It was that very phrase. But that doesn't mean I'm right. You know what I loved is this. You know what? I'm not going to say that phrase anymore. Lord willing. And so don't like, you know, hot boiling oil over me if I forget. But it's, you know, where I'm at is I don't want to be offensive. You know, I want to tell you this. There's this one thing and I want to figure out how to do it, right? I think we've got to preach the truth and we have to preach it in clarity. Jesus highlighted the false religion of the Pharisees and he didn't mess around. And I want to do that too, right? So just so you know, I've got to figure this out. And I'll be gentle. I'll try to be aware. You know this. I hate Roman Catholicism. It damns more souls than any other religion I know of. We are dominated with it in Cincinnati. I want to be able to preach it against it in love, and I know those were some of the triggers as well. So we'll deal with those, right? But here's my point. My point is this. I'm probably not going to use that phrase again because you know what? Where I'm at is, that phrase isn't a phrase in the Bible where I'm compromising the Bible, right? What I want to do is I want to figure out how I can preach and not have people go off into some tizzy and not hear anything else that I preach. And I'll drop that phrase. But here's my point. I do love this. On the day that I got feedback, the day before, I was told that phrase God used. It doesn't mean I'm right. Here's my point. We worry. We fret. I don't know enough. I might not have the right spirit. I want to tell you the gospel is powerful. And here's my objective. I want to be a kinder, gentler, easier going sharer of the gospel, right? And I believe I can be. I'm not done. I know. I get so fired up sometimes and if people let me get fired up, right, I've got to relax and remember what I'm doing. But here's the most beautiful thing. Jonah, I do not believe, had the right attitude, but he preached 40 days, and Nineveh will be destroyed. Paul said, I would rather the gospel be preached whether in pretense or in love. Because the gospel's that powerful, it can overcome your bad attitude. It can overcome my bad attitude. And you know what? There's not one person in this room that you can share the gospel perfectly. You may not like the way I share it, and I want to get nicer about it. I want to get more loving about it. And so, look, I know this. I know my personality's a little strong. Right? And you're like, a little strong. You know, Don reminds me, I had breakfast with him and his dad. I'm pretty sure I didn't call his dad a heretic, but Don promises me I did. But I think I said that's heresy. You know, there's a fine line. Now his dad, we had a wonderful time, right? He'll never have breakfast with me again, but we had a wonderful time, but all, I didn't call him a heretic. I just said, well, that's heresy, right? And I was trying to do it gently. And Don, you know, he was spitting food all over the place. But I just know this. I don't know if I've ever shared the gospel in a way that Jesus would go, boy, that's awesome. But what I've got to remember is, I'm not done working on me. And you know what? I agree with every one of you. You go, you don't do it right. I don't. But I want to do it. I want to share the gospel. I just want to obey. And I'm not going to stop just because sometimes I'm sinfully aggressive. Sometimes I'm in the flesh. And sometimes my motive's not even right. It's not because I love Jesus. It's because maybe it's pride. But here's what I know is this. Is when the gospel is shared, whether I'm being a jerk or not, I don't want to be a jerk. I just want you to know this. When it's shared, it's the same powerful gospel no matter what happens. And Jonah is the perfect example of that. And Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says he would rather the gospel be preached in pretense than not at all. All I'm saying is this. Obey. You don't feel like it? Share the gospel. You're in a bad mood? Share the gospel. And then apologize and say, you know, I didn't have the right spirit. Would you forgive me? I've had to apologize right in the middle of witnessing to people, and I'm getting so aggressive, and this finger comes out, and I begin to wag it, and I watch people back away, and I'm like, oh man, I catch it now, and I'll say, would you forgive me? I'll say, I'm passionate, but I'm wrong. I'll say, you're headed to hell right now, and you're offended that I would even say that, but let me tell you why I would say that, because your own testimony. Met a guy tonight. He told me, I said, hey, if you die tonight, would you go to heaven? He goes, I'm not sure. Later I told him, I said, you know what it means when you're not sure? It means you ain't going. Because you couldn't tell me how to go. I don't tell you that to be a jerk. I tell you that to say, if you die, there are no second chances and you will spend eternity in hell. I do not get joy out of telling you that, but I will probably never see you this side of eternity again. Share the gospel. 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 I will tell you, why are we a church? He establishes churches so that we could organize with a plan to go out and take the gospel methodically to every creature. That's why we were put together. Oh, there are all kinds of other reasons. God never does anything for just one reason. But I believe the primary reason is for the glory of God through His Son, Jesus Christ, that the gospel would be declared and that Jesus would be high and lifted up. That's the primary purpose of the establishment of His churches. Everything else is secondary. I love the fellowship. I love our church. I was blessed today just watching the helpers, and Don's like, yeah, you just watch them. I was trying to help too. You know, I loved it. I mean, I could name, you know, I mean, it's Don's a great encouragement to me. That guy's a worker if you stay on him. He's a worker no matter what. Tyranny, you know, I love this. You brought Elena out. And you know what I love? It just brought back great memories. You know why? Elena's there going, You know, it's while you're serving, and that's she is learning from you. You're thinking, man, child abuse, right? No way. No way. She may be bored out of her gourd, but you are teaching her volumes. Take her by your side and serve with her and show her that salvation is more than just a ticket out of hell. And I know you're busy, but it meant something. I loved it, right? I loved it. I mean, I know this single mom, you came out, Melissa, the other night and helped set up, right? That was cool. It was good. Megan came out today and was helping. I mean, I could go on and on and on. I love our church. I just want you to know it was a beautiful thing. I loved it. I was encouraged that we got to just show Joyce was encouraged. That's a big deal for me with the funeral. Joyce felt loved today. She felt special. Because when I asked her the other day, I said, would you like us to have a meal? I love it. You lose your filter. I don't know what age that is. But I don't have to wonder, what are you thinking? You know, this is just so good. She goes, well, that's what you're supposed to do. I'm like, okay, thank you. Thank you. You know, and it was just, okay, that was good. That was good. That was not a lot, you know? But then today, she said, thank you, preacher. She said, you all did good. You know, I love that. But I want to tell you, all that's second to the gospel. We can make meals. We can love on one another, and we should. Oh, absolutely, we should. But if we don't obey the greatest calling of our lives, we are just like Jonah, and we don't think we are. We're running to Tarshish. God hasn't sent a whale after us. We haven't been in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights. So it's okay. We're not bothered. Just obey. I don't want us to go to bed. Every day, if you could just, I love this. D.L. Moody, and you can, you know, argue theology about D.L. Moody. You know what I love about D.L. Moody? He cared about souls. D.L. Moody made a commitment that he says, I will not go to bed until I have shared the gospel with someone every day of my life. I think I've told you this story a long time ago. He was about to go to bed. He was in another city. I think he was in Chicago. I know that's where he's from, but he may have been in Chicago. But he was about to go to bed, and he realized, I haven't told anybody about Jesus today. He got up, went to the streets, found a drunk, shared Jesus Christ with that drunk. Probably, like you and I might, checking the box, I kind of made this commitment. I'm tired. Left that drunk on the streets, went back, went to bed. He was preaching that next Sunday in that town, and this man comes up to D.L. Moody after the service and goes, you probably don't recognize me. He said, I'm that drunk that you came to the other night in the alley. And he said, God saved me. And he said, I just wanted you to know. You know, I wish there was a commitment in our hearts that would say, you know, I believe our church would be different if it just said, I want to pass out one track a day. See, I believe it's important daily. You know, I passed out seven, so I'm covered for the week. Just daily, just daily, just daily, just daily. Saw Monib last night at Thornton's. He knew this was coming. And so I snuck up on Monib, right? And you know, I can't sneak up as well as I think, right? I think if I hunch, you don't see me. And I yelled over at the cashier, I said, ma'am, did this man tell you about Jesus? And she said, no, he didn't. I said, well, he blew it. I said, he'll tell you about Jesus the next time. I was loving you. I love Monib. I want to tell you, I love Monib. He loves souls, and I love that. And I wasn't trying to get on him. I was just having a good time at Thornton's. It was of the Lord that I went to Thornton's, and I just, when I was there, I got a Diet Mountain Dew. And I love Monib. I believe next time he goes to Thornton's, he's going to tell her about Jesus Christ. You see, the simple command has never changed, has it? Arise, go and preach. Jonah obeyed, and I don't think Jonah had the right attitude, but God used it. Isn't that good? We should desire to serve the Lord with the right attitude. I love this. You may not think so. I don't want to be a jerk. I don't want to be a mean guy. I don't want to just, boom, bust you in the eye. It seems like that sometimes, I know. I have such a desire that I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying. But I've just got to be nicer about it. But here's what I love. God will overcome me when I share His powerful gospel. Third thing I want you to see is the people responded. Isn't that awesome? This is just amazing. Look at what the people did in verse 5. So the people of Nineveh believed God. I do love this, and this is so important for us to remember. They didn't believe Jonah. Isn't that good? Your objective isn't for them to believe you. Your objective is that they believe God. Right? They believed God. I love that. They believed God. And then look at this. And they proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least. And the Bible just gives us this great picture of the reality. The king, he humbled himself and said, you know what? Everybody, nobody's going to eat or drink. You talk about belief. Belief changes action. And this is just so exciting. This is what the gospel does. Jonah may not have had the right spirit, the right attitude, but the people believed. Jonah, he may have gone to the whole city. Or maybe he only went one day's journey in and said, you know what? I'm done. And the whole city got the message. And the people believed, and they had fruit, meats for repentance, and they proclaimed a fast. Just for our scholars, a fast is when you don't eat. You can have a fast where it can be a liquid fast. You can have a fast where no food or water. This was a fast without food or water. Have you eaten today? Did you eat today? Did you eat today? Did you eat yesterday? You know what? They said no food, no water. That'll get your attention, won't it? They didn't allow the animals to have food or water. So you got cranky animals, and you got people that are crying out to their God with their heart. And it's because of the gospel message. All Jonah did was he arose, he went, and I'm telling you, I think all he preached, if you just ask me, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Simple. But the people believed. I wonder, you'll hear this a little on Sunday too. Do you actually share the gospel expecting people to be saved? I'm going to ask you, because you're going to hear what your preacher believes on Sunday. This is a very important question. Can everyone be saved? I want you to chew on that before Sunday, because your answer will impact your behavior. Can everyone be saved? You see, I want you to think about what is your answer, what's the Bible perspective. Your answer will impact your behavior. We really have to look at saying this. Why do we not share the gospel? And you know what I believe? I believe we don't share the gospel because of some errant belief we have. Because there's something wrong with our belief. There's something wrong with the way we think. Because belief changes behavior, and if you believe wrong, it'll lead you to the wrong behavior. I'm convinced of this. Why do true Christians not share the gospel? Because they believe wrong. And they're not thinking right. I think I can prove that with the Bible. And I'm going to make you wait till Sunday. But I want you to answer that question. And so, the people responded. They believed God. They had fruits of repentance. And then this is fascinating, right? We've talked this in the past, but God repented. Look at verse 9. The people say, who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from His fierce anger that we perish not? Who can tell? And God saw their works, verse 10, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that He had said that He would do unto them, and He did it not. The simple definition of God repented is He turned. He turned. He turned. You know, I just want you to know, people believe when we share the gospel. We should expect people to believe when we share the gospel. I'm not suggesting that somehow through your positive thinking that that's going to affect things, but I believe this with all my heart. Whatever is deep-seated in your mind will affect your behavior in such a way that it'll affect people. If you go into a circumstance going, they will not believe, do you know this? They probably won't believe. And so, you know what? They did believe. God turned from the destruction of Nineveh, and He brought a great work, the power and pity of God. The power of God is that these people were evil. Did you see what the king said? The king says in verse 8, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. This was a violent country. I do want you to also grasp this. We've just come through 1 Timothy chapter 2 that it says we should pray for all men, including kings and those in authority. Do you pray for Donald Trump? I believe he's lost, just for clarity. There's no way that man's saved, based on his own testimony. I won't ever defend someone that's lost, because you just get in all kinds of trouble, because a lost man's going to act like a lost man, and that's exactly, you know, so all of this stuff. But do you pray for Donald Trump? I want to tell you this. If Donald Trump were saved, it could change the direction of our country. Do you pray for him? And do you mourn for him? And do you know this? It's we, as Christians, need to be the salt and light of the world. But the king of Nineveh led his entire country. He ordered them. He said, you will not eat. Your animals will not eat. And you will cry out to God. And they did. Who can tell? Who can tell? You see, it's simple, isn't it? Nothing new tonight. Nothing new tonight. I didn't come to put you on a guilt trip. I believe in this room, no one disagrees with what I said. But I think we disagree with our behavior. If we can't get it, no one will get it. I beg you tonight, ask God, give me obedience to the gospel. I want to tell you, there's no better life than living a life that is dominated by the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about manipulating God. I'm talking about loving people so much that we get out of our own little world and we care for a lost and a dying world. God commands, Jonah obeyed, people responded, and God repents. That's what our country needs tonight. Let's pray.